Very last paragraph, Hare Yetzer Hara Toiv La'adam. Wow, look at that statement. They would censor this. How many reasons would you want to make a list of all the reasons why you would put the Sefer Chassidim in Cherem? Hare Yetzer Hara Toiv La'adam. It's good to have a Yetzer Hara. You hear what he says over here? She'ilu lohoya Yetzer Hara Shoilet. That's a very powerful word here. If the Yetzirah would not be shoyleh, would not rule with an iron fist, al adam, masachoroi. What reward could a person expect to receive in the Tzula Sheikabal Allah Toiva? Ato now, Sheyitre Miskaber Allah, the Koyfifoi, Bavur Akodosh Baruchu. Now that his Yetzer is Miskaber Allah and ties him down not to serve Hashem, and yet the person overcomes it. Wow, that is where the person receives reward. The Yetzer Hara is the only reason why a person receives reward, because we have the ability, this that we overcome him.
Hara Yetzer Hara, everyone would be good. There would be no point.
Exactly.
That's exactly
what he says. It's exactly the same. And therefore we have to give the Yetzer Hara a Yesh HaKoyach. In fact, the Gemara, we have a Gemara, famous one of the Gemara, says that one of the Amorayim, I don't remember who it was, he went and he darshened, when it came to the Yetzer Hara was Mechavein L'Shem Shamayim. And the Yetzer came and he kissed him. He came because everyone always says nasty things about me, and you went and you made a drasha. You said something nice about me. That the Yetzer Hara is here all for the purpose of enabling man to receive reward by overcoming him. Okay,
similar to what you mentioned before about that guy that said he was not felt bad that he has taimas and everything.
Right. Okay, well, that was a little different twist on it. But the Yetzer Hara is here for us to overcome him, and that is where the reward is found. For the Rishoyim, the Yetzer Toiv, Ra Lohem. It's a guilty conscience. Okay, the Rishoyim, they want to do evil, but it bothers them, their guilty conscience bothers them. What's the guilty conscience? The Yetzer Toiv. The Yetzer Toiv is in their way. And unfortunately, they try, the real wicked people, they try with everything that they can to completely eradicate that guilty conscience by pulverizing the Yetzer Toiv. L'sham Yetzer Toiv ra lohem. Ilu loy tamu Yetzer Toiv. If they would never have experienced what it means, the Yetzer Toiv, Yecholim hayu loymar, they will be able to say lo yodanu mativa shel yetzer toiv. It's a very interesting way of describing this. But every single person, even the most evil of men, I don't know about that, the most evil, but many evil men, at one point in their life, they had the experience of knowing what it means, a yetzer toiv, the desire to do good, what it means to do good. And then when they've chosen for themselves a life of evil, it always bothers them. That guilty conscience, that I'm doing my heart's desire, but I know it's wrong. If I only did not ever have that good, that experience of knowing what it means, the Yetzer Toiv, I would not have this pain of what we call the guilty conscience. Next, if a person has an experience where Hashem sends you away something which is forbidden, and the only reason why you hold back is because you do not want to be embarrassed. And really, I would do it. It's not beneath me to do this avera. The only reason why I'm going to hold back is because I don't want to be embarrassed. Oh, shahaya, it'll be mafli b'nech adav. It's too mafli b'nech adav. It's too disturbing to do this. Oy sheyeshcha yetzer hara shemiskaber lech la'avor. Or let's say you are in a situation where the Yetzer Hara indeed has overcome you. Tachshav, you should say to yourself as follows. Ilu hayisa b'shas hashmod harei hayu l'cho kol hayisurim ha'moves b'avur ha'boirei shenemar. If it was the times of shmad, you would give up your entire life not to do this. Shenemar. Alkein alamois ahevucha. Alamos means Alamois literally means the young maidens, they love you. But here we learn Alamois means that, okay, I'm not really sure how he's interpreting over here. V'im ha'yu roitzim l'harug o'yischa o'yisurim l'asas l'cha sh'nifcha m'ovis m'chayim ha'yu ha'yisur soivel. V'kol sh'kein zeh ha'adavar, certainly now sh'ein kol kach gadol sh'miskaber l'cha yitzrach, certainly right now you should be able to overcome it. And this is something very, very deep. We actually once spoke about this, and it's a very, very profound, deep idea, and that is that people, when no one's watching, will do things, they don't care, they'll do an aveira. They'll go and they'll go, I don't have to give examples, they'll do whatever they want to go do. No one's watching. But if a guy would come to us and make a law that you have to do this, right? I'll give you a foolish example. Okay, the guy will say, everyone has to watch this defensive driving video. It's a law. You're not going to get a license until you watch this video, and there's no way you can get around it. You have to come to this, you have to look at it, you have to read the numbers and log in. Okay? And on this video happens to be one of the women who speaks is not dressed 100% at sneistic. In our very high standards here in Flatbush, right? She's not, it's the degree of tznius is just not 100%. The sleeves are just not 100%. If no one told you to do it, to do it on your own, I have to go take a class, waste the whole day, go run down and do this. I want to know, the chachma behind defensive driving. So you go online, you watch the video. She's not dressed in a stick. Who cares? This, that. But I don't look. This, that. It bothers you? It doesn't bother me. I don't even think about it. You just do it. It's good for me. You do whatever you want to go do. You want entertainment, you do things. But now that the government has issued an edict, you're not getting your license unless you watch this video. The next thing you know, La Yehudim, the demonstration. There are letters to the editor. There's advertisements. They're trying to schmat us to watch videos that are not sneistic, that don't have the proper words. All of a sudden, it becomes a major mishigas. If there wasn't a draft in Israel where the government with demands that from people join the army, I'm willing to bet, I can't prove it to you, but I'm willing to bet there would be many people would enroll in the army. Because not everyone is cut out to learn the whole day. And some people, they feel the need to serve.
Yeah,
they feel the need to serve, and they would develop their own, there'll be more divisions of a Nachal Haredi, it's because someone is telling you, you must do this. Oh, you're telling me I must do this. So now let's look what I must do. I might, this, all of a sudden it's a nitpicking. Oh, it says Shulchan Aruch, it says this, it says this, Shmad, blah, blah, blah.
They don't have to do 2-year service at all.
Whatever, I'm not giving an exam. I'm not going to go into details. But this is a psychological, mitzvah. Is that unfortunately we have a tendency to do things that are not correct. They're not, we know they're not necessarily halacha, but you know, you get by, you do it. But when someone comes along and tells you, you must do it, if the goyim tells you, you do not do this, we'll kill you, we'll be willing to give up our lives not to do it. But what do you mean? What do you mean? If the goyim didn't tell us, would not have told us this, the facts are we do it anyway. We do it anyway. You know, it's a shame that the goyim don't make a shema not to steal. Right? Cheat on your taxes. If goyim would tell us, you must cheat on your taxes. Then we would go... It would be shema. We would give our lives not to cheat on our taxes. We give our lives. But they don't tell us that. So then you do whatever you want to go do. It's a very frightening thing. It's exactly what's over here. Is that let's read this paragraph one more time inside, going slowly. Kishayavel yadcha shum davar. Sheloi b'ritzoy na'kodesh baruch. When it comes into your hands, something which is keneged the Hashem's desire, why don't you do it? So, but the only umibnei haboishes atay meoneya oisai. The only reason why you're not doing it is not because you wouldn't do it.
Or not because of
Yiras Hashem. Right, you're afraid of men, it's just not tsugipas. You don't want to be caught doing it. It's not because you really wouldn't do it. I would do it. It's just I don't want to be caught doing it. Lavinafmina, if no one's gonna catch me in the privacy of my own home, no one's watching, then I'll do it. Because it's hard to do it to get caught doing it. Umafli beinechadavar. It's disturbing in your eyes to do this thing in public. But let's discuss a worse scenario. Let us say you're willing to do it. You actually do it. Oh, let's say you are in a situation. Sheyesh l'cho yetzer hara. You have a situation with the yetzer shemiskaber olech lav lavor, which overcomes you and convinces you to do it. Oy lasos, to transgress or to do. So right now, he's presented for us two different situations. Situation number two is where you're going to do the Avera. I don't care. I'm going to do the Avera. Situation number one. I'm not going to do the Avera for the wrong reason. The only reason why I'm not going to do the Avera is only because it's just not practical. It's just not in my best interest to be caught doing this and to be labeled publicly a person that does this Avera. But if not for that, I really have no problem doing the Avera. So what is a technique a person should use in order to be mechazek himself, number two, not to do it, period, and situation number one is not to do it for the right reason, because you have Yirah Shamayim. The technique is to think to yourself, what would have been if the government would issue a Gezeres Hashmat to tell every single Jew, you must do this Avera. This exactly that we're discussing, there's a gzera from the government, every Jew must do. They have to assimilate, they have to join the culture, they have to participate and do this Avera. What would happen then? Then there would be a campaign. All the Jews would get together and they would be mechazek themselves, that the goyim are trying to assimilate us, they're trying to make us into goyim, they're trying to harm us, and we would strengthen ourselves to an extreme not to dare come near doing this Avera for the right reasons. So he's saying, why wait for it to come to that? Why wait for it to come to the point where the goyim have to make a gzeira that you should do it in order to not do it then, because you're going to be meiser nefesh al kiddush Hashem? Now no one's bothering you. Now you have an opportunity to hold back and not do the Avera for the right reason. And the right reason being Yiras Hashem. This is something which is very, very common. You see this all the time. Ilu Hayisa, if you were living B'Shas Hashmat, a time when the Goyim are trying to convert Jews, and they would insist that you do this particular Avera, you would accept upon yourself torture, a moves or actual death. We find Chazal tell us that Alamos, the maidens, they love you, Hashem. And this Chazal referred to this passage to mean the person gives up his life for Hashem. You would accept it. You would accept upon yourself. So now, no one is trying to force you to do the Avera. So why do you want to do it? If you wouldn't do it, you would give up your life. If you would give up your life not to do it, if a guy would try to force you to do it, how much more so when no one's trying to force you to do it, you should not do it. The kol shekein, how much more so zeh hadavar she'ena kol kach gadol, it's not so difficult, shemeskabro lecha yitzricha, in the situation where the yetzer hara had overcome you, try to work on yourself not to do the aveira. Umikabel sachar toiv al ma'ash adam koyv v'yasiyus. A person receives reward for you for this that you overcome your yetzer hara. Yoyser mi me'a mitzvah she'ein yitzrei ma'asisay v'teikvay v'duchakoy aleha. He's saying a very powerful idea. A person, if he does 100 mitzvahs that are easy and there is no opposition from his yetzer hara, he gets reward. But it doesn't compare even a mashu to the reward he will receive for holding back and not doing one avera when the yetzer hara is nudging you, is pressuring you to do the avera. It's an amazing thing. You can go to Davin and you can learn, put on tefillin, kiss the mezuzah, and go to learn daf yomi. It's easy. These things, I don't have a nisayon. And then you have a situation in life where you have a nisayon, and you are tempted to do an avera, and you're able to overcome that avera. The reward for that is infinitely greater than all of the mitzvahs. You think, oh, the day went by, it was a good day today. I davened, I benched, I made brachos, I learned. Big deal. Those things came with to you without a sweat. What about the nisyonos you had during the day? Were you able to overcome those difficulties? That is where the real test challenge is. Sh'amruch ein socher ala mitzvah sh'yasu l'lasolovoy. There's no reward. L'lasolovoy, Chazal said, when Mashiach will come, there's no reward. Because then it's easy. There's no yetzahara. Ad shelo yavahu yimei hora'ah. Can you believe this? Chazal is a very frightening thing. That the days of Mashiach are called the yimei hora'ah. Okay, every single speech ends off. Ah, halavai v'shem zeichad bias goyel Mashiach. Said keinu b'meherav yameinu amen. Don't say amen. You don't want Mashiach to come. I don't want Mashiach to come. Mashiach comes, it's over. The challenge of life is over. The whole life is about success, challenges, overcoming the Yetzer Hara. It's called in Koheles, Ad Shelo Yavohu Yimei Hora'ah. Shloimei HaMelech did not conclude even one of his drashos with the words, Ad Bias Gel Mashiach, Tzidkeinu b'meherav yameinu amen. Never. He concluded his drasha, ah, let's chap a rein. At shelo yavo yimei hara'ah. Yeah. Ein kates. So he's saying yimei hara'ah means Mashiach. Mashiach is called the yimei hara'ah. That is, that goes on and on. Seemingly endless. Yeah, well, that's another thing. That's the Yisurim. Yeah,
right.
That's the Yisurim. But he still calls it Stam. That's past the Yisurim. After the Yisurim over, there's no longer opportunity. There's no longer an opportunity. Eilu Yimei HaZikna. The pasuk goes on to say also in Koheles, V'yagiyu Shonim Asher Toimar Ein Li Vohem Chefetz. When it says the days of old age, the days where you have no desire. What does that mean exactly? Same idea. Eilu yimei hamashiach she'ein bohem loy zichus v'loy chayva. There are no opportunities to advance. L'chich, therefore, toiv yoysel asoys oysel dover she'yetzach hara miskabro lov. Therefore, a person should work on himself and focus on the things where the yetzach hara has the upper hand and overcome them. U'machnia es Yitzrei Bavur Haborei, to humble his Yetzer in the honor of Hashem, Mishar Mitzvahs. That's much more important, to work on those things than to work on Mitzvahs where it's no sweat. Mishar Mitzvahs She'en Yetzer Harach Cheshesh Bochem Shlo Toimar Harei HaMitzvahs. A person should not say HaMitzvahs Shekulos Kalos Kachamuros. It's a big mistake to say every Mitzvah is the same. I put on tefillin, it's just as good as it counterbalances an avera of stealing money. Okay, I learned at Daf Gemara that counterbalances talking during davening. We don't know what the schar is. But he's saying is, don't be a fool. Right, exactly. Exactly what he's saying here. Person should not be a fool to say, listen, I can talk during davening. I will make it up to Hashem by going to the Daf Yomi tonight. I will go and I put on tefillin. So I have a bonus. Now I have credits. I can go and I can eat things that are not 100% kosher. Things like whatever. You know what I mean. And any example you want. There's no such thing as negotiating with Hashem. Credit. This mitzvah, I'll do this mitzvah, I'll make it up. It doesn't work like that. It's from shudim. These things doesn't work like that.
That's a concept.
Got credit. I did a good deed today. I took an old lady across the street. Right?
Don't you feel good when you work for something? You know, somebody, like when we are Mispalo, Vamanaschinam. But, you know, there's a certain pride a person has.
There are easy mitzvahs and there are hard mitzvahs. It's like a video game. There are certain prizes, there are certain goals that are harder than them, there are certain things that are just, you know, there for the taking. And there are things that are very difficult. The ikar is to work on the difficult things in life. It's a very powerful musar. The ava in Gar.
You say in the time of Moshiach, there is no reward for the mitzvah?
That's what it says. There's no Yetzihara. In the most of Mashiach, it's obvious. There's only in the times of Mashiach, it'll be obvious. The only way to go is to serve Hashem, to fulfill the Torah. The nisyonos are severely diminished, and therefore, in being the reward only comes to a person when he overcomes difficulties. That opportunity to overcome difficulties is only now in this world. Let's go further. The Avon Gadol Noisel Al Mea Mitzvahs. A person is a very great sin. A person can receive al mea mitzvahs she'ein hayetzer mekatrik v'u'iver aleihem. Yoiser mi mitzvah shayetzer mekatrik. Now he's saying the reverse. Yoiser more mi mitzvah shayetzer mekatrik aleihem. In other words, if a person, the other way around, if it's very easy to do a mitzvah and you choose not to do a mitzvah, you're held accountable. What's holding you back? But if a person has a hard time, is challenged to a mitzvah, and you're not able to succeed, okay, so we can understand, you're given a pass. It's very, very difficult. The punishment for not doing that mitzvah will be much, much less. But mitzvahs, which are super easy, and you deliberately choose not to do, why not? Why are you not doing it? And he gives the mashal, melchum basav adam shal sivu la'avod avlech, has been plenty, to go to a certain location. Bo echad v'yam la'avdoi, echad al teilech, b'makom plenty, shamelech, a person says to a servant, you should not go. Why? Do not go. Don't go to the place that the king commanded you to go. Instead, go somewhere else and I'll pay you off. I'll give you a lot of money. This officer, he took the money. And then there was another fellow that did not get one penny. He just on his own decided, I'm not going. Because someone else was promised 2 cents. Now, what happens? The king finds out that these two fellows did not do their duty. One person did not do their duty because he was bribed to receive $1 million. And the other one did not do his duty because he was given 2 cents, 2 pennies. Who is going to suffer the greater punishment? The one that got the 2 cents. Because for 2 cents, for 2 pennies, you disobeyed my order. Bishloima, the other fellow, gave him $1 million. You give me $1 million, I also wouldn't go. But you... So I understand there's an understanding of your challenge. But this other fellow, Harezesh Lokach Rak Shnei Peshutin Yoiser Onshai, he will be severely punished. Bedover Kal Bitel Ritzanamel, because he was Mavad of the king's command with only a small amount. Kachzel, like this one, Shechoyte Bedover Shein Lo Yitzer Miskabro Lov, Yonshai Yoiser Godel, his punishment is that much more severe. The whole Dover, Shebol Yotchol Lassas, Vienchol Oisim Nea Baisha Shayikur Ugucha, Chosid Shoyte. They'll call you a chassid shayte. If a person does not do something because you're afraid, they'll call you. They'll call you a chas shayda. Tachshav, you should think ilu hayisa b'shas hashma the same exact thing hayisa nereg al avera kala afilu a arkasa de misana. Even the color of your shoelace. In times of Shmad, there was a gzera that Jews should not wear white shoelaces. The Gemara says in times there was a Jewish custom to only wear white shoelaces. You do not wear black shoelaces. No. Black shoelaces were only worn by... What?
Shoes.
Yeah? Arkansas says well, shoe is a shoe.
The shoes also,
yeah,
right? Shoes. Said,
I don't know. I remember learning red shoes.
Red shoelaces? Yeah. I think it was a...
I won't argue.
I think a certain color shoelace. There was a tradition. The only one who wore black shoelaces is someone that was a chassid. It was a sign of mourning for the avelus of Yerushalayim.
Yeah, but that's like Ezra Gamut.
That's a Roman thing that they just put on.
They didn't... Right.
They spotted a guy who was wearing black... Black shoes, not
only
black shoes.
Okay, I'm not sure about the shoes.
He is playing by his wearing because of...
This mourning over Yerushalayim, the Chulim Yerushalayim.
Who are you?
Who do you think you are to publicly mourn over you? Not so great.
Yes,
not so great. Exactly. Don't be so humble. You're not so great. Right? He said, oh, you feign anivas, anava. You're not so... Don't be so humble. You're not so great.
And in another Gemara also says about the Adam on the market,
Government. Okay, so let's say the time that what is wearing a shoelace? Make believe it's a question of wearing a certain color shoelace. Jews would wear a certain color, white. The Goyim come along and say, no, we want all the Jews now to wear black shoelaces. Is there a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says you have to wear white shoelaces? Doesn't exist such a halacha. It's not a tayag mitzvah. So what would you say? So give in to them. If the Goyim want you to wear black, so give black. It's not worthy to give up your life for the color of your shoelaces. And yet, we're shocked to learn, no. If this is the tradition, if it's Jewish tradition to wear a certain color shoelace, Shmad, anything you give in to them is just a slippery slope. By giving into the smallest little thing, it's just going to lead to you giving into everything. And therefore, people would give up their lives not to change the color of their shoelaces. So let's review. We have over here a person, woman, you have a mitzvah. You don't want to do it. You know why you want to do it? Because people are going to laugh at you. They're going to call you, oh, you're a foolish, you're an Orthodox Jew. Why are you wearing tzitzis? You know, you could go amongst goyim. Why? What's those strings hanging out? Right? They call you. What are you wearing those strings? You go amongst goyim. What is that? They're going to laugh at you. This is archaic. This is ancient. It's outdated. What are you wearing those strings? So you're embarrassed because in this group of people that they make late sons. What would have been if there would be a law? There would be a law. The government would pass a law. Any person walks the street with tzitzis dangling, or he will be executed. Then you'll be proud to wear your tzitzis. You'll be proud to give up your life. And lav dafka, that tzitzis is a mitzvah. Talk about the color of your shoelace. Talk about customs, different things with Jewish custom. It's going back to the same thing we said before. It's a repetition, exactly as I said before. Tachshav, kitachshav, think in your mind. Ki'ilu ha'yisa b'shas ha'shmat. Ha'yisa nerag. Al avera kala. Afilu ha'arkasa demsan. You give up your life even for a minute. The koshkin sh'okav esyitzu certainly now, when no one is coming to tell you to give up your life, you should not be embarrassed to fulfill Hashem's mitzvahs. Al sh'okav esyitzu ha'mosu b'yadi. I have the power to overcome my yitzahara. V'im gonaf the Torah tam tam olucha. V'im gonaf the Torah. Now he goes into a new idea. He's throwing out here words over here, which is not so clear the combination. If you steal Torah, it will stand for you. It doesn't mean mamish to steal. It means if you are proud. Here the word tigna over here means if you go and you do the impossible. You're able to overcome your natural inclination not to do the mitzvah, and you stand up to the challenge. And you do the mitzvah. He's using the word gonafta in that context. It will be a zuchus for you. V'mabusha mila benes ponecha. And if you're embarrassed and your face turns white, excellent. This is a kapara. Harei lecha ki karban kapara. This is an atonement. Mutov shetes bayish b'fnei me'av yaltes bayish b'fnei kamar avavos. Better be should be embarrassed with 100 people in this world and not be embarrassed b'fnei kamar avavos. This is parasha Rabbi Yisai. V'nucho yoymar shuva Hashem rivavos alfei Yisrael. Okay, Klal Yisrael is called the rivavos 22,000, just the beer of the beer. And therefore, if a person in the next world, his averos will be publicized, and he will be embarrassed in front of the whole world. We know he's famous for this. One of his most famous lines of Matisyahu Solomon, may he have a refuah shalema. One of the most famous lines that he will go down in history for is where he said, everyone always repeats this, he says, every keystroke you take on that computer, every mouse click you click will be publicized to all of your relatives, your friends, and the whole Klal Yisrael. When he was speaking about the dangers of technology and the need to protect yourself, he says, what do you think? You're all alone, privately, in the basement. No one sees what you're doing. You have a VPN, a secure VPN. You know what that is, Rabbi Yisai? A secure VPN where everything you do is secret and no one knows your internet activity. There's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Every keystroke is recorded in Shemayim, and ultimately, in the Olam HaEmes, it's on display for the world to see. And you know how much shame that will bring upon you? Very frightening when you have
computer, every
of course, right? But his focus at that time was on this, and he writes over here, he exposed in front of the Kamar Rivavois, tens of thousands. This week's parasha, V'nuchu Yomar, over the Oisam Asam Liachem Moischa, and in front of those people themselves after the person's death. So therefore, a person is embarrassed in this world. It's not so bad. Now, you know, anyone who holds back from doing a mitzvah, if a person, the other way around, if you hold back from doing a mitzvah because of Boishas, Bain, the mitzvah, say, the mitzvah, Lisa, say, you spy, Shafa Hesia, it's not Liacha Moisah Bifnim. If you do not do a mitzvah because you're embarrassed, you're going to be embarrassed in the next world. V'ulai afil b'chamiv, you might be embarrassed in this in your lifetime. Come on, Tzidkiyo, Shalom, Ben, Yis, Alalubi, they'll mock me. V'ulai nichal, say Hashem, v'ivru einov, because Tzidkiyahu, this is very frightening, Yirmiyah begged Tzidkiyahu to surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. Who knows where we would be sitting today if he only would have listened to Yirmiyahu. Yirmiyahu told Tzidkiyahu HaMelech, do not fight with Nebuchadnezzar. Open the gates of the city. Pick up the white flag, surrender. If you will surrender, I'm telling you, in the name of Hashem, Nebuchadnezzar will not kill you, will not kill anyone. You will not go into exile. He may destroy the Beis HaMikdash, but you will remain alive. You'll be in the land. No one will ever be able to call you an occupier of the Holy Land, because you never left. And what did Tzidkiyahu say? It's shocking. I'm embarrassed. I can't do that. People are going to mock me. They're going to mock me. They're going to say, you're a coward. You're a coward. You're not macho. The attitude of the common men in those days was to be mole gaiva, to fight and be macho and tell our enemies, get lost. I don't want to go against the attitude of the common man. They're going to make late sonnets on me. I don't want to be mocked. Pen yis'alalubi v'loy nichna. And because of that, he refused to obey the Navi, the word of Hashem, because of his own private embarrassment. An incredible korban came about, and he suffered the worst. What did he suffer? The ivru enof. He became blind. How did he become blind, Rabbi Yisai? Did he actually blind him? You know what he did to him? He killed his 10 children in front of his eyes. And the tsar of seeing that made him blind. That's what made him blind. He lost his mind. He lost his eyesight because his 10 sons were murdered in front of his eyes. I read in the Hagdama, this blew my mind. The Hagdama, Rabbi Bender, from Far Rockaway. This year he published a Haggadah with Art Scroll. Art Scroll published a Haggadah. Beautiful Haggadah. And in the Hagdama he writes, I remember the name of Mr. Hands. Mr. Hands. H-A-N-S. That's how I remember it. Look it up in the Haggadah. Go online. I'm sure you'll find it online. The story. When he was a child.
Oh, Hans.
Hans? Mr. Hans.
He
was a cook.
No, he was a chicken.
It says there he was a cook.
It was called Hans.
Rabbi, you tell the story. I don't know.
Yeah. All right, we'll have to go look it up. It's in the introduction, to the Haggadah that Rav Yaakov Bender published this year by Art Scroll in the Hagdama. He writes about this man. I vaguely remember his Mr. Hans. I vaguely remember that he was a cook in the yeshiva that he studied. And he would always be seen, this fellow, going like this. Gesticulating with his hands. Looking at his fingers. And the boys would laugh, would make late some meshugana. A meshugana. What is this guy? What is this guy doing this? Many, many years, they mama should laugh at him. They would make late sonnets of him. Many, many years later, they learned the story. When this man was a survivor of the Holocaust, he was in a ghetto. I don't remember all the exact details, but the Nazis, he was a gifted pianist. Mm-hmm. A gifted pianist beyond belief. And somehow the Nazis knew about this. I don't know how they knew. They knew he was a gifted pianist. They came into the ghetto to liquidate the ghetto. And they took this, there was a piano. And they knew about this little boy. And they knew he was a child prodigy in this area. And they took him, and they took his parents. And they said to the child, "We want you to play as we murder your parents. We want you to play in the music. Sound good as we kill your parents right in front of your eyes." So the boy said, "Over my dead body. I'm not doing this. Go right ahead, kill them. I don't care. I'm not going to play when you're going to kill my parents in front of me." So the father said to his child, "I beg you, my son, play. Live. Live on. It's not worth it. Let them, so you'll play. They'll kill me in front of you, but play. I don't want you to die. Listen to me." So the child obeyed. He played. And as he played, in front of his eyes, they murdered his parents. His whole life, he was haunted. His entire life, he was psychologically damaged. And his whole life, he revisited. It percolated, it echoed.
He was epileptic also.
Epileptic?
Yeah, I saw him. He used to fall down on the floor.
Yeah, but that could have been a result.
That could have also been a result. And he said, he relived this experience. The children were making late fun. And it's only years later did they understand what it was all about.
No?
Well,
never had children.
No, I'm talking about the yeshiva. Mm-hmm. The children in the yeshiva made late sonnets of what this guy, the Meshugana. They didn't realize it wasn't the length to make late sonnets about. The horrors that he experienced. So he saw something. Tzidkiyahu had even a worse experience. This child saw his father die in front of him. Tzidkiyahu saw all 10 of his children being tortured and murdered in front of his eyes. He went Meshuggah. Tzidkiyahu HaMelech. Okay, that's how he went blind. Doesn't see they poked out his eyes. The vision of seeing them murder his 10 children is what made him go blind. And why? because he was afraid. He says to Yirmiyahu, I can't listen to you. I can't go and surrender to Nebuchadnezzar because the people are going to mock me. I can't be soivel the bezyonos. It sounds ridiculous to us, right? It's hard to understand.
No,
Tzidkiyahu
was a tzaddik.
He's both. He's both. Complicated person. He was mystical of a sudden. He's a very complicated person, both ways. I want to conclude over here is that Rav Steinman, I told you a lot of good stories. Someone once wrote about him. He comes home, goes to shul one day, and written all over the graffiti, all over the walls is Steinman. I don't even want to say the next word. It begins with a chaf and refers to an animal. Okay? They graffitied all over his neighborhood on the walk where he would walk from his home to the shul. Steinman, the next word, three-letter word that begins with a chaf. And his children were horrified. Horrified. And within moments, they remove the graffiti. As you know, removing graffiti is not so easy. Okay, it's not so easy to remove the graffiti. And they remove the graffiti. And he said, and he complained. He had tightness on his children. Why they remove the graffiti? He said, I need kapara. I'm not a young man. And he would say, I went to America twice. He came to America twice. Mm-hmm. For chizuk. They gave me so much cover in America. I need to be bizyonis, to be mechaber. And he was dead serious. And we laugh about this, but he was dead serious. He mamish cherished the bizyonis. He cherished it. They mamish umavaza him. He mamish viewed this as something that he really wanted. He wanted the bizyonis, to kapara. He came to America, mamish l'shem shemayim, and the process of coming to America, l'shem shemayim, they gave him cover, and he felt it wasn't appropriate, the cover they gave him. And he wanted the bizyonis, and he did not want them in the worst way to remove the graffiti. Every time he walks, he should see what it says publicly. He should feel a little humility of what the world thinks of him. Okay, so it's bizyonis is scary, huh? Not a good thing, I don't know about that, but something you don't ask for. Something you certainly don't ask for.
Excuse me.
Hey, Jeremy.
Blocking traffic.
What are you doing? What are you doing? Wait, wait. What are you eating me? You're Peri Adam.
What?
You hit me a couple of times in my back. You read this.
Yeah, don't.
Behave yourself.
I don't know.
You
are disgusting.
Oh.
You are disgusting.
Let me move. What are you doing to me? Go to the Palestinian.
Don't. Hey, hello.
You know what?
Hello. Okay. I know. Quiet. Don't. Okay.
Not everything.
Okay. I know. Quiet. Just calm down. Take a deep breath. All right, we have a few minutes. I want to share with you some halacha. This is not related to the parasha, but